The rest of us, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the first chapter of Romans? Romans 1, and we're going to read verses 16 through 21. The title of this message, The Righteous Will Live by Faith. The Righteous Will Live by Faith. You all agree that if you have no faith in God, it is getting harder and harder to navigate this world. How many of you would agree with that? Romans 1, beginning to read in verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known by God, about God, is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now I want to read a fairly long passage from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 17. This is to give us some background for what's going to come up later in this message, all right? Habakkuk 1. Bet you haven't been in that one in a while. You know, the whole book's important. It makes me nuts when I hear people say, well, I'm a New Testament believer, like that's real spiritual. Well, I'm a New Testament believer too, but I'm also an Old Testament believer. Because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Never forget that. Both Testaments are equally important. All right? So here we go. Habakkuk. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflicts abound. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem and the righteous, so that the justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty man, whose own strength is their God. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for who you are, first and foremost. And we thank you for your word. You have put everything in your word to guide us. And we give you praise for that. Lord, I pray for the revelation that we receive from your word today. I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you will give us understanding of the words that we read, of the words that we hear, and that, Lord, our eyes will be opened to your prophetic words, that, Lord, what is going on now is merely things that have happened before. What has been is happening again. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that we will be encouraged through this message to not walk in fear, but to walk in understanding that you are still God, you are still in control, and that, Lord, as a nation, we need to repent for the evil that we have allowed in this nation for many years. So, Lord, put a watch on my mouth this morning that I only speak the words you ordained, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this first chapter of Habakkuk, as I was reading that, could you see the parallels? It might as well have been written for right now. Are you with me? I mean, so what has been before is again. Why? Because man is evil. Because man keeps walking away from God, turning away from God. As individuals, that happens, and as nations, that happens. And our nation has been walking further and further away from God. And see, he will only allow that for so long. But remember the title? The righteous will live by faith. I want to read for you a short excerpt from what a man by the name of Reverend J.W. Wilson wrote many years ago as he was writing a sermon. This was a segment of his sermon. It's word for word. It's entitled, The U.S., For the U.S., Faith Above All Else. It's the title of his message. Here's this short excerpt. On the top of the rocky summit overlooking the bay where the good ship Mayflower first cast her anchor is a magnificent statue. On the four corners of its huge pedestal are seated four figures representing law, morality, freedom, and education. They are emblematic of the four square foundation that supports our whole national life. Rising high above these four figures is a glorious granite shaft on which stands a heroic-sized figure of faith. In one hand, she holds an open Bible, symbolizing the religious Magna Carta of American history, while the other hand is raised aloft, pointing to the great white throne of God in the heavens. The religious figure of faith is seen rising above the foundation figures of law, morality, freedom, and education. Thus is shown the supremacy of the religious element in American history. So long as that element remains in dominating influence and quickening power, so long will America remain the land of the free and the light of mankind. That is powerful. It was written long ago. We need to understand, I've told you this before, but it warrants being said over and over. Our system of government, our system of democracy, can only work when it is built on a foundation of Christian belief. That is the only way that this form of democracy, literally, this form is an experiment. We are the only nation on the earth that has ever successfully had this form of government for all these years. Our democracy is also the longest living democracy in history of the world. And it has only been that way because of the Christian foundation. But the Christian foundation has been eroding in this nation. No one can deny that. There are many people that are happy about that, that the Christian foundation is eroding. Those people that are happy about that, if they don't have a change of heart and a change of mind, they are going to land in hell one day. It's why we need an awakening so badly in this nation. It's why I've been praying for an awakening in this nation, and that God will restore godly leaders to this nation, because it's the only way that this nation will continue to exist. The four pillars of this democracy to continue to work. If you were listening, the first one is law. There is no more in this nation legitimate law and order. It's gone. So that pillar is crumbled at this point. Doesn't mean it can't be restored. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not preaching a hopeless message. I'm preaching a message. By the way, God put this on my heart this year. He stirred me up. This isn't something I thought, well, I haven't preached on this in a while or what. God put on my heart. He took me to Habakkuk this week, as a matter of fact, and started speaking to me. And I got level with you. Habakkuk is not a place that I turn very often. I just don't. So, I know it's a God thing, because he took me there. And look at the words that are in there. I'm sitting there reading. It's not like I never read it before, but it came alive this time to me when I read it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe when I was reading it, it came alive to you. So, law and order, the first one of the pillars of our democracy. I trust most of us, maybe all of us, are in agreement. That has crumbled at this point. The second one is morality. Morality is gone for sure outside of the church. The problem where it really gets very problematic is when morality has eroded inside the church as well. That's when it's a big problem. Well, Pastor Wayne, why do you say that? Well, because God's word is truth. Amen? God's word says that the judgment of the Lord begins in the house of the Lord. So the judgment is going to begin inside the church. And that's not pretty. But it's got to be done. Because God will not give up on his bride, the church. That's good news. So, there's the second pillar that has crumbled. The third pillar is freedom. In 1 week, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July. Where we celebrate our freedom from the control of another nation. Right? And we should celebrate that forever. But our freedoms are also deteriorating. That pillar has been crumbling. We're not going to, but if we stayed on the course that we are on right now, I believe within the next 5 years, we'd be the next Venezuela. You can either believe that or not believe it. I don't care. God called me to preach this message, and I'm going to preach it the way He put it on me. People in this country don't realize, Christians don't realize, too many of them anyway, don't realize that we are one step away from socialism. And my friends, there's no freedom in that. That experiment has never worked. And all that does is crush and oppress people. So it's time God's people stand up and speak up for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time that we do our part as believers to restore law, morality, and freedom. Now the fourth one is education. Isn't that something? And look at what has happened to our education in this nation. Look at what has been happening. Our kids are going to school and they have to put up with furries. I'm here to tell you right now, that's wrong. We don't need a litter box in the corner of a classroom for a child to use whenever they want to. What we need is some psychiatrists and some pastors to go in, and psychiatrists do what they do to work with the mind, and the pastors to do some deliverance. What we need, my friends, because our education system has become more and more evil, and they have come to the place, whether you know it or not, the whole education system in our nation has decided that your children don't belong to you anymore. They belong to them. And you can either believe that or not believe it, but I'm telling you, it's true. I've been doing my homework. A lot of it. I never thought I would spend as much time as I am these days. I'd like to sound real spiritual and say, I spend 15 hours a day in the Word of God in prayer. I don't. Maybe I should. But I have been spending a whole lot of time keeping myself abreast of what is true news. And we're not getting that on 4, 6, and 8. And you're not getting it on CNN either. And only half of it's true in Fox. If that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Your children are your children. And it's time we take them back and say hello to the schools. So we've got four pillars, the four pillars of our democracy that have been systematically broken down, and they need rebuilt. And prayer is the absolute most important thing that we can do. Pray, pray, pray. But also, we need to get proactive. It's time we speak up. If you speak up and you end up in a confrontation, so be it. I'm not saying knock somebody's head off. All right? I'm saying speak the truth. Speak the truth. Don't just knuckle under. That's why we're in the situation we are in. God's people that know the truth need to stand up and speak the truth in this nation, in whatever area it is. It's gone way too far. We've got school boards that have begun to call parents that show up there to voice their opinions. They've begun to call them domestic terrorists. Wrong answer. I'll tell you who the domestic terrorists are. It's the ones that are in leadership that are tearing down the four pillars of our democracy in this nation and then saying that God-fearing people are a threat to democracy? That's where we're at, guys. Who's a threat to democracy? All of this nonsense. We need a bathroom for girls, we need a bathroom for boys, and we don't need a third and fourth bathroom for whoever the heck else they think they are. I don't care what they identify as today. God made them man and female. That's what the Word of God says. And it's time we get back to the foundation of the Word of God. You know, I'm a little mouthy today. And I apologize. See, God's just got a few people in this nation yet that are willing to stand up and tell the truth. There's way too many pastors that won't stand in the pulpit and tell the truth because they're afraid people will leave. Well, if preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the Word of God offends somebody, then I guess they're going to have to leave. God spoke to me. He said, preach to the living. Amen. You know who the living are? Those that have the light of God in them. So law, morality, freedom, and education. We need to be praying for the restoration of these four pillows. Pillows. Pillars. It's not time for a nap. Pillars. These four pillars to be restored in our nation because our democracy is sustained on those. Am I making sense to a couple people today? Yeah. Isn't it something about the figure of faith that's on top of those four pillars? One hand holding the Bible, the other pointing to the throne of God in the heavens. Symbolic of the supremacy of the religious, I hate that word, the Christian element, I will say, in American history. We have to get back to the foundation that this fantastic nation that I love with all my heart was built on. I'm not giving up my nation without a fight. Amen. I don't have as much fight in me as I did 20 years ago, but I still got a little bit. This preacher said, the only way that America can remain the land of the free is with the Christian element remaining, the dominant influence in our culture. Are you seeing why I read that long passage as some background for this message in Habakkuk? Back to our original text, in Romans 1, says the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. We, listen, not just me in the pulpit, we, everywhere we go, need to be carrying the light of the gospel and speaking the gospel to anyone who will listen. People are more and more evil, and along with that, people are more and more losing their hope. I see it in people's eyes. Listen, I don't know if you do this, but when you're sitting somewhere, I like to, when we're at the mall or something, I just let my wife shop, and I head to Whitey's, get myself a little lick, and then I sit down and I watch people. Guys, how many of you know I'm talking? And I sit and I watch people. But I've learned to look in people's eyes, because people's eyes are windows of their soul. And when you look in people's eyes, you can see what's going on. And more over these last few years, I'm seeing more and more sadness and hopelessness displayed in people's countenance and when you look in their eyes. So people, without realizing it, are looking for answers. They're looking for truth. They're looking for hope. And I'm here to tell you, the only true hope that this world has forever is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's it. He's our all in all. Verse 17, it goes on to say, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Goes on to say, a righteousness that is by faith. It goes on to say, from first to last, it says in the NIV version, which is what I preach out of. But in the King James version, it says it this way. It says, from faith to faith. This phrase could mean three different things. Could mean, first of all, from God's faithfulness to our faith. Secondly, it could mean from one degree of faith to another. There are different levels of faith, right? Hopefully, as you mature in the Lord, you are growing from faith to faith. Right? Going deeper in the Lord all the time. I know I have been. I have a lot more rooted, deep faith in me now than I did 40 years ago when I accepted Christ. Faith came into my life then, faith for salvation. I was truly born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and my life began to change. So there's faith there, but there is no way that there was the kind of rooted, grounded faith then that I now have 40 years later. Why? Because my wife and I and my family have been through some stuff together. And every time we go through a valley, we come out the other side of the valley victorious. We've come to another level of faith.
Amen.
I don't know if you realize this, but God's been changing this message a little bit that I know. I hope it's all making sense to you, because he's just kind of taking me over. And thirdly, it could mean through faith from start to finish. It could mean that as well. All three of those work. But he sums it up in verse 17. He says, the righteous will live by faith. See, there's a problem when people say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But there's no faith in their life. Every time the tiniest little thing comes into their life and upsets their life, they fall apart. Why? Because they're not rooted in faith. Am I making sense? See, if we are truly in Christ and He is in us, and we are growing from faith to faith, if you will, We're going deeper and deeper in the Lord, and our faith level comes up, up, up. Then, as time goes by, when we have tough things happen, it doesn't destroy our faith. Over the years, I have seen way too many people that have been Christians for years, and maybe a loved one died suddenly, or this happened, or that happened, or a loss of a job, or something catastrophic in their life, and I've seen people just give up on God. I look at my grandson sitting down here today. We've raised, my daughter and us, everybody helping as much. We build faith in all of our grandkids as much as possible. Well, last night he was minding his own business, not doing anything wrong, and he smoked a deer on the way home and wrecked his car. He's kind of bummed out this morning, but he's in church. He's kind of bummed out. I get it. That's a bummer. His car is wrecked. Got to see if you can find parts for the front end of the thing. He wasn't looking for it. Why did that happen? I don't know, but God allowed it. And Carter, you're going to come out the other side of this victorious, and someday you'll understand why. But you've got the victory, son. And you've got a grandpa that'll help you any way you can. Am I making sense? In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. Aren't you glad he didn't stop there? He went on to say, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The righteous will live by faith. No matter what tries to swamp us, we don't give up on God. Because He is worthy of our praise no matter what. He is worthy of our trust no matter what. The statement, the righteous will live by faith, the whole idea of that is actually recorded in several places. In Galatians 3:11, if you're taking notes, Galatians 3:11 says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. So there it is in Galatians. In Hebrews 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Anything that is a lack of faith is sin. Anything that is not built on a foundation of faith is sin. So God says, when you shrink back, I'm not pleased. Because that's not operating in faith. Now, Habakkuk 2. I read that other long part to lay the foundation for this part of the message. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 4. I'll let you get there. And it says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See? He is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith. There are a lot of people in high places in this country that their goals are not upright. Guys, when we were talking about the four pillars, we scored a big win this week. And we should be praising God in the streets. We should be praising God in our homes. I intentionally didn't bring this up earlier in the service because I knew I was preaching this and I wanted to address it in the message. Roe v. Wade being turned over after 49 years. We have been praying for years and years for that damnable curse to be broken in this nation.
Yes.
And I don't say that lightly. I mean that. It was a curse. A damnable curse.
I just want you to know that that got a standing ovation for 3 minutes at the rally yesterday.
Yeah,
solid minutes.
Amen. Amen. Reporter asked President Trump, do you think you had influence over that decision? His response was, it was God's decision.
Amen.
Couldn't have been a better response. Because that's who. That's who. We have a lot to be thankful for in that. Now it kicks back to the states. So then, the states that we live in, and unfortunately, this church, and some of us live in Illinois. God help us. Yeah, that's right. Thanks for the reminder. Primary is this coming week, Tuesday. Get out and vote. The primaries are important. Okay? Get out and vote. Very, very important. My wife and I will be there. I hope we try to be one and two through when they open the doors. We don't make it every time. Sometimes, where's Larry? I think he might be downstairs. He sometimes beats us. We kind of have a contest. But we're going to get there early and cast our vote. And I'm just here to tell you, while I'm there casting that vote, I fully intend to stand in that booth and declare if anyone messes with my vote through tampering with a machine or anything else, that they will drop dead right out of their shoes. And I'm not even kidding. I've had it. You heard it here. Watch the newspaper. At least tune into your phone. The wrath of God, it says in verse 18 of our text, is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Do you realize how badly the propaganda has been squelching the truth in this nation? Especially the last couple of years, 3 years, maybe 5 years. It's been really bad the last 5 years. Did you also know that the propaganda machine is something that was created by Hitler? Any questions? I mentioned Venezuela. Remember? We have people in this nation that came here to get away from socialism in Venezuela, and they are screaming from the rooftops. This is what they did to us in Venezuela. Don't let them do it. And people aren't listening. Verse 19 says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, people are without excuse. God's creation is a witness to His presence. People say, well, I've had many people say to me, well, I've never seen God. Have you? No. Answer. Have you ever seen the wind? No. Nobody's ever seen the wind. How do we know it exists? Because of what it does. We had a derecho go through here. Did $36,000 damage to our church roof. We had to have a whole bunch of new roof put on. Took it right off. But nobody saw the wind. Neighbor RJ, two houses down, said he saw the shingles come up at one point like a deck of cards and go. Nobody saw the wind. But we see the destruction that wind can cause. We feel the breeze when it's hot out and those heavenly breezes come and we go, when we're out working in the yard or whatever. It's the same way with God. We know because of what He does. We know also because when we are born again, He lives in us. Nobody will ever be able to talk me out of believing in God because He lives in me. He speaks to me. He directs me. No one will ever be able to talk me out of my God. It's just never going to happen. Because I know Him. Do you know Him? Or do you know about Him? See, knowing about God doesn't save anyone. Remember in Matthew 7, He said, away from me to the evildoers, I never knew you. And the word that's translated new literally means relationship. Nothing twisted, but intimate relationship. So what He was saying is, away from me, you evildoers, I never had any relationship with you. I don't know you. That's something you don't want to hear. When your life is required of you, that is not something you want to hear. I so want all of you to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter my rest. That's what I want people. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, there it is. Remember the wind? It's verse 20 of our text. His eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen. Verse 20. His invisible qualities, His eternal power. We recognize His eternal power if we pay attention. And His divine nature. In other words, we can see that He's not like us. He's truly righteous. He is light, and in Him, it says in James, is no darkness at all. Being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. Being understood from what has been made. That's our starting point. If we are going to believe in God, and if we are going to believe in the Bible that consists of 66 love letters, if you will, 66 books within the book of the Bible, it has to start with the first chapter of Genesis. God created. No big bang. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was not a monkey. We didn't evolve from apes. God created man, and then he created woman out of man. That's what it says in the Word of God. So if we don't have that right in the starting point, then how are we ever going to have the rest of it right? If we're going to teach our children the Word of God, we've got to get that established in their mind. But then we send them off to a school that is teaching them evolution. And they get confused. Well, my teacher says it started this way. And you tell me the Bible says it started this way. Is that true? We've got to stop confusing our children. In conclusion, but golly, I got through this message on time today. Can I get a praise God? I bet you're getting hungry. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Guys, that's what we have seen happen in the church in this nation over the years. As a whole, there's exceptions, but as a whole, there's too big of a percentage of the church in this nation that is embracing all kinds of ungodly things. I have already been reading about pastors that are encouraging their congregations to go march with them over this horrific thing with Roe v. Wade being turned over. Lord, strike them dead. Lord, strike them dead. I'm serious. What in the world? We've got pastors that are responding. And guess what's going to happen? You do understand. I know Pastor Jim understands this because we've talked about the way it makes our knees quake. We are held to a higher accountability because of the platform and the calling that God has put on our lives. A pastor is held to a different level of accountability. That rocks my world. And I know it does Jim's too. Because like I said, we've talked about it over the years a few different times. Shakes me, man. But what's God going to do with pastors that are out marching and causing problems over a righteous decision that was finally handed down to correct a wrong that had taken 63 million lives? 63 million babies have been murdered in 49 years in this nation alone through abortion. And the blood of those babies cries out from the earth, just like the blood that was spilled by Cain and Abel. And Cain slew Abel. God said his blood cried out to him from the earth. Well, that was one person. How about the blood of 63 million innocent babies with no one to protect them? That is what our nation is guilty of. It's why I've been saying, repent, repent, repent. And I still don't see repentance as a whole in this nation. It's still not coming. People are believing, myself included, God's going to turn this around. He's spoken to me. Most people saying, why is it going so long? You know why I think? Because people have not begun to repent. The church is still sick.
Já é o seguinte, ele ficou com a parceira, ela era cheia. Ele ia se largar, porque ele fez o som. Não ia lá, você, ali. Isso é, ele contar, isso. Não ia lá, isso é, ele pensar, para que ele não pode pensar, para que ele. Não ia lá, você, ele é possível. Não é assim, que ideia é assim. Não é assim, ele sobrava para que você dá. Ele é assim. Não é assim, que você tem que estar. Não é assim, que você tem que estar. Ele, que você é, que você está. O vexê, que você não vai ser.
My people, there are many who think because I am long-suffering that I don't care about the evil that is going on in my creation. And I am here today to tell you that not only do I care, but in my time, if people do not repent, I will unleash what I unleash on evil people, and I will correct what is wrong. For I am righteous, and I am holy, and I am a God who watches over my creation like a mother hen watches over her chicks. I am brooding over my creation. I will only allow the evil to go so far, but I have given a span of time for people to repent, but that time is running short. And if there is no repentance, you will see mass deaths in my world. Because I created this world for my purpose, and I will not have it hijacked by the enemy and his followers. The enemy was cast down years ago to the earth. It has been said that I will finish what I started then, and I will. You can be assured of that. I am long-suffering, but I am not blind, I am not deaf, and I also am holy. So never think, because I don't judge sin immediately, that I don't care, because nothing, and I mean nothing, is further from the truth. That might not know what that was. That is tongue with interpretation. The Word of God tells us that that is equal to prophecy. If you have any questions about that, you can contact me. Well, that was something in light of what we were talking about. I'm kind of stunned. It's like, okay. Recovered from this. Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. We've been living that. I thank God that I'm getting more and more word of some of the local churches that were in denominations that had voted in their leadership, in their head councils, in their presbyteries, many different names for them, but voted to ordain homosexuals in their denominations and welcome the LGBTQ. I'm encouraged to see that there are local churches within those denominations that are saying no and are leading the denominations. Praise God. That's a good start, right? Those who don't want to see eventually lose the ability to see. Talking about in the spirit realm. When people's eyes become darkened and their understanding is seared, then people just begin to operate out of a reprobate mind. And they don't even know right from wrong anymore. And they've turned from God, so they don't get any wisdom from Him. Unfortunately, that's where we're at on a lot of fronts today. Guys, we have hope. If you're here today and you're a born again, truly a born again believer in Christ, and agree the righteous will live by faith, then praise God for that. It's time to pray. It's time to speak up. It's time to stand up. Because we are living in some crazy, crazy times. But none of it has snuck up on our God. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I got Quinn. It's 10 after now. But God took over and He got her done, right? Let's stand together. Father, I pray for every man, woman, and child in this place. We have truly heard from You today, from Your Word. Lord, also from tongue and interpretation, You've spoken to us today, Lord. So, Lord, we're leaving here today with fresh revelation. And we thank You for that. We pray, Lord, that You would seal this revelation in our hearts. That, Lord, we would walk in this truth. That, Lord, we would truly be those righteous people that walk in faith, Lord God, from this day forward. And we just pray, Lord, that You'll bring us back safely next weekend. And Lord, for those that will be traveling, because I know it's a holiday, a long weekend, I just pray that You watch over them, keep them safe, bring them back. Lord, we love You. We glorify You. We thank You that You're not a God that has abandoned us. That, Lord, You are working on our behalf for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you all.